Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
I was burdened down with sin. No happiness was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. When at last I finally continue to fill my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when He saved my soul.
I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
Now a life of peacefulness deep within my heart abides.
Since the day that Jesus took my sins away, and to heaven I will go to spend the endless ages while they ever roll, praising His name for the glorious day that He saved my soul.
I remember the day when the Lord saved me.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
And I remember the day.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
Hello again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to come back this way one more time, have what we consider another God-given opportunity that might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. Do sincerely appreciate all who tune in. Sir, appreciate your attention, and I ask you to pray for this work, pray that as we try to prepare and come this way, that the things that are brought would truly be the things that would be the most helpful for everyone to consider. I truly do believe that such a work as this is a work that needs to be directed of the Lord. I believe He's the one who knows best what it is we need to consider. And I'm certain that as He has let us know in His Word, He'd have all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And as much as He has said that, I'm certain that He indeed is on the side of all who would just like to know what exactly the truth is and willing to accept it whatsoever that it may say, whatsoever that it may present. So we're thankful to be able to be here and appreciate your prayers and ask you to help us to pray to the good end of that this work would be truly a good and useful work for all of us. We've been trying to take up a subject for the last little bit. The subject is in a series. The series is called The Kingdom. And in the Kingdom series, we have addressed a couple of points, some different points relating to the kingdom, looked at whether or not that it's in existence at this present time, whether or not Christ is king at this present time. And if you've been following along, you know that what's been concluded from the scriptures that have been offered is that indeed the kingdom has already been established and that Christ is already reigning in that kingdom. And of course, with that being the case, then it has direct implications on how that we should respond unto not only to Christ, but in knowing that His kingdom is established. So as we take up the thoughts today, I'd ask you to, as we have asked before, consider the things that are presented. Take notes. Think about the scriptures that are written or that are given. Write it down. And then prayerfully consider those for yourself. Don't just take it because of what we said and that we say it. I hope that you won't just dismiss it out of hand either, but consider it. Take a look at it. And I do believe, as I said earlier, God, He wants to help us all to understand the truth, and we're willing to take it just as He's given it. And just prayerfully consider it. Take it up with the Lord and see what it is that you might conclude with these things in mind. So as we continue on with these thoughts on this subject, Lord willing, we'll try to take another point at this time after we have prayer. And again, taking up thoughts on the kingdom. This will be the fifth part in this series. If it's where you can, then like to join with us, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your great many blessings that you extend toward us through thy Son, Christ Jesus. Ask you, Lord, to forgive us our sins and shortcomings. Help us, Lord, that we'd be cleansed from the things which that indeed are so uncomely in the eyes of God. And help us that we'd be such as follow along after Christ, and then following along after Him, be such that we know we can't be on our own. We turn to Thee, Father, and ask You for guidance and direction as we try to study and prepare and come this way. Help us, Lord, as we try to present these thoughts, that the things that are presented would be delivered in such a way that they'd be easily understood and would be such as conform totally and wholly to the Word of God. That, Father, the Spirit of God may accompany the Word into the hearts of hearers. And so accompanying, help us be persuaded that the things that are brought forth, that they're not just the private reflections of an individual or the private conclusions of someone who has formed an opinion, but we know indeed the things that are brought forth are from on high, and they come from God. We pray, Father, for the many sad and needy circumstances about us. We pray, Father, that you'd richly bless all who are in these needy circumstances, and grant that as passing through this low ground of sin and sorrow, that we'd be neighbors and friends and a comfort to those going through such trials. And we pray, Father, that you would remember those who've got the worst condition of all, those who are lost, knowing thee not, nor the free pardon of sin. Help us, Lord, to ever be instruments in the hand of God, that the things said and done, that they would be such that indeed that they would work toward the good end of helping lost people seek and find thee, our Father. And we pray, God, that you'd help the children of God to indeed be led of the Spirit of the Lord, led in such a way that we'd find the house of God and place our lights upon the candlestick thereof. Father, we pray again for our country, that you'd grant us leaders according to that that's good and right in your sight. Help us to know how to support those who are in such positions, and help us that decisions and such things that need to be determined and carried out, that they'd be done in such a way that's truly good and right in your sight. Where we fail and comes us short, forgive us and help us, that we might indeed, though stumble today, might perform better tomorrow. For we seek all favors and blessings in the good and righteous name of Christ Jesus. And where we fail to ask, fail not to grant, seeing we do come before thee in such a great and wonderful name. Amen. As we said earlier, we want to take up some thoughts, and we've addressed previously points concerning the kingdom, and we'd like to continue on considering points relating to the kingdom, and we might begin reading some very familiar scriptures out of the book of the Gospel according to John, reading out of the third chapter. Might find a few verses of scripture to consider at this time. Reading out of John chapter 3, we start with verse 1, and the scripture says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things, or no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. We'll stop reading here. It's given us a few verses of Scripture to consider from John chapter 3, read from the first down through the eighth verse. Notice out of these verses that the Lord points out some conditions that are necessary in being able to, first off, he uses the phrase, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And next off, he says, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, in order to be in a state that you can see the kingdom or that you can enter the kingdom, that would tell us that there is a difference between being in such a state and being in the kingdom. And inasmuch as there is something that is needed before seeing or before entering the kingdom, it must mean that being in that state is not the same thing as being in the kingdom. Now, that shouldn't sound very technical. That's pretty plain. There are many instances in our lives. We know that we must do one thing, and just because we did one thing, it doesn't necessarily place us in another situation. And we know what it is to do something, and we must have done one thing before that we can do the other. There are quite a few things you think about in whether you're learning a skill, learning how to do something, and as you go through the process of learning, you must have one thing that you've acquired before you can do the next thing. Just because you're able to do the first thing doesn't mean automatically that you can do the second thing. And the Lord is saying that here, speaking of spiritual matters. He's speaking, first off, of being able to see. When I think about this scripture, and I'll read it again, the Lord Jesus Christ, when this man Nicodemus came to him at night and said plainly that there is no one who can do the miracles that obviously Christ was a part of. This man Nicodemus, he knew. He said, no man can do these things except God be with him. And when he said that, Christ just went right to the point regarding the kingdom. And then what he said about the kingdom was, verily, verily, I say unto thee. And that word, those words there, verily, verily, that means truly, truly. It surely, assuredly. It's this way, it is firmly this way. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, when I think of this, the Lord is saying, except a person is born again, there's no way to perceive or to detect, to be able to comprehend the kingdom of God. When we think about this phrase, it reminds us of something that was touched on earlier in an earlier series, especially out of Matthew 13. It's not just found in Matthew 13. It's found also in Mark chapter 4 and over in Luke chapter 8. But we'll turn to Matthew 13. And in Matthew 13, the Lord is saying the same thing about the need to be born again before that you can see, before you can understand, before you can comprehend, perceive the kingdom. What had happened here in Matthew 13 was that the Lord spake a parable, and that sometimes we call it the parable of the sower. And as he got through speaking the parable, his disciples came to him and asked him, why do you speak to the people in parables? And the Lord explained. He said, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and by seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they've closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So the Lord is saying, even though you think you see, you don't really see. Even though you think you hear, you don't really hear. And he's speaking of seeing the spiritual things, perceiving it, being able to comprehend. And we understand what that means. A lot of times we use that word see, and when somebody's trying to explain something to you, and you might say, well, I don't see what you're meaning. And then after that they continue to explain it and give examples, and after that they help you to understand it, you say, now I see. Well, it wasn't that your eyesight was not working. It's just you didn't understand. You didn't perceive it. And the Lord is speaking of conversion in that way. That in spiritual matters, when it comes to the kingdom, before we can perceive, before we can understand, we must be born again. This is the word. This is the word of the Lord. He's the one who said this. So in order to see the kingdom, you must be born again. But just because you're born again, that doesn't put you in the kingdom. We notice this again in this next reference. And in the next reference comes out of verse 5. John chapter 3, verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, notice that the Lord says that one must be born of water and of the Spirit. And he says that this being born of water and the Spirit is necessary to be able to enter the kingdom of God. It doesn't say being born of the water and of the Spirit brings one into the kingdom of God, but it says that for one to enter, they must first be born again. And when we think about, well, a lot of times the question is, and we'll touch on this in passing, a lot of times the question is, well, what kind of being born of the water is that talking about, being born of the water and born of the Spirit? Is that talking about maybe being baptized or something like that is necessary in order to bring someone into this spiritual condition? I don't think that that's what the Lord means at all, because he goes further and says that which is born of the flesh is flesh and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So when you back up and you parallel that, except a man be born of water and born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, the flesh, the outward man, is born of the water. We have a water birth in our very human birth into the world. We enter through the water. If you'll just think about the natural conception, after the process of conception, the term is fulfilled. Well, then, of the water is how that the flesh is born into the world. And the Spirit, the inward man, the spiritual man, is born of the Spirit. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. I believe the Lord's very plain in that. But this birth of the outward man doesn't automatically mean the new birth is going to occur with the inward man. And just because someone is born in the inward man, it doesn't put them in the kingdom. One must be born again down inside before they can enter the kingdom. So what are we concluding from studying these verses? We are concluding, making some thoughts, considering some points from the Scriptures regarding what is the new birth as compared to the kingdom. And more specifically, does the new birth put a person in the kingdom? And from these Scriptures, we conclude no. When one is born again, they enter the family of God. But when one is born again, they're not in the kingdom of God yet. But you must be born again before you can enter. But the new birth doesn't make you enter, does not bring you into the kingdom. Just so that we might consider or continue to consider these points, we'll think about Matthew 18. Matthew 18 gives us another point to consider along these same lines. And consider this for yourself prayerfully. And just ask the Lord whether or not these things be so as you consider. The first references that we gave was from John chapter 3. And specifically, those verses from verse 1 down through verse 8 brought in those two verses which we mentioned. But now we'll consider Matthew 18. And here I noticed that another question came up about the kingdom. At that time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus answered, and Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I would like for us to think then about this last verse, whether or not the new birth places an individual into the kingdom. And if we see that the new birth does not place a person in the kingdom, it means we can be born again and not be in the kingdom. The Lord says this, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, this makes us think again about what the Lord said over there in John chapter 3 that we just got through considering. Except a person is born of the water and of the Spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom. Well, here the Lord said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom. This status of being as little children is this being just the right opposite of being full of pride. We can be so full of pride as men and women. And the Lord is saying, except you're born again and you humble yourself, you be a humble person, you can't enter the kingdom. Scripture says, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And this is a theme which is found throughout the New Testament, especially. You find it in the Old Testament as well, but it's many times mentioned in the New Testament. How that pride is the great stumbling block, is one of the great stumbling blocks of men. And here, the Lord is pointing out how, even though a person be born again, if they're full of pride, they're not going to enter the kingdom. So that a person must, though, be born again before they can enter the kingdom. And the Lord adds to that and humbles himself or become as a little child. So we find in this that the new birth, one must be converted before they can enter the kingdom. That sets the born again in the family of God. They are saved. Their soul is saved. They're sealed, but they're not in the kingdom just by virtue of being born again. Might consider another reference. As we look at another reference, we want to think about the man John the Baptist. And we think about the man John the Baptist, we consider Luke chapter 7. And we'll begin in verse 27. And I notice that the scriptures are, actually I'll back up and get verse 26. And in this, the Lord has been asked about John the Baptist. And the Lord is expounding about him when he says, what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I just might make a point here, because you may have been considering these different quotes and these different references, and you might have noticed that it points, we read about the kingdom of God, and at other points we read about the kingdom of heaven. Well, here's an instance where John the Baptist is being described, and the scriptures plainly say, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. However, if you'll flip over and read in the gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, you'll find the very same statement about John made, but it says, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So in Luke, you read, he that is least in the kingdom of God, and in Matthew, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven. It's just that Matthew, as he is writing this, he references the kingdom of heaven, and in Luke, he references the same place, but it's referred to as the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven. So just to clarify that, in case you wonder, you might be thinking, well, which kingdom is he talking about? Well, in, you read the book of Matthew, especially, in the book of Matthew is where you come across that phrase, kingdom of heaven, frequently. It's in the other Gospels where you come across the phrase, kingdom of God. So, well, don't let that confuse you. It's not meant to be a confusion. It's referring to the same place, and there is significance in how that they are used that way, the way that this was revealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But just know, these places coincide with each other. However, let's look at the point. The point is, it does the Scripture teach that the born again, just when they're born again or because they're born again, does that place them in the kingdom? So far, in considering these Scriptures, we find that the Scripture says, no, you must be converted before you can enter. But if a conversion takes place before you can enter, conversion doesn't enter you. It didn't put you in. Looking at John the Baptist, we notice that the Lord makes a reference of how John the Baptist was indeed a mighty man of God. He was a man of God indeed. He was, when the Lord said, was he a prophet? And he said, well, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. So was John a prophet? Absolutely. Was John a spirit-born man? The Scriptures teach us, absolutely. When we look over and like to give a reference from 1 Peter chapter 1, the scriptures that we just read said John, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. And the scriptures here in 1 Peter chapter 1 let us know about the condition of the prophets of God. For we read in verse 11 about the prophets. It said, "See, searching," I'll back up, "of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Notice that this scripture speaks of the Spirit of Christ being in these men. This is how that we know we're children of God, is when the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. Romans 8 tells us, "And if any man have not the Spirit, he is none of his." It's by the indwelling of the Spirit that we know that we're children of God, and that's not an accidental occurrence. As we seek God with all of our heart, understanding our need of soul salvation, of forgiveness of sin and salvation of our souls, we turn to God in humility and in our humble surrendering unto God. When we are born again, the Spirit is what comes inside of us and indwells in us. And it is by that Spirit that we know that we are the children of God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So when that we read of the prophets that have the Spirit of Christ in them, we know these are born-again people. But what says the Scripture about this born-again man? There's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. So if any prophet had the Spirit of Christ in him, surely this greatest prophet, there's none greater than John. Surely the one on the top tier, or we might say on the top rung of the ladder, surely he indeed had the Spirit of Christ in him. So what was his relationship to the kingdom, though? It said, "He that is least in the kingdom is greater than John." If he that is least, if we're going up a ladder, and you're going up the rungs on a ladder, the top rung that the prophets could be on, that's how high John was. But ever how high John was, he wasn't as high up as the least one in the kingdom. The last one to get on the kingdom ladder was higher than John. He that is the least in the kingdom is greater than John. So, knowing John was a born-again person, and knowing that he wasn't in the kingdom, because even the least in the kingdom was greater than John, we conclude that born-again people, just because they're born again, they're not placed them in the kingdom. It's been an interesting study, and we hope that you'll pray and want to continue to study along this subject as we think about the subject of the kingdom, and I ask you to prayerfully consider what's been addressed. Hope that this has been helpful. If so, be careful to thank the Lord for that, because it's to Him we look as we try to pray and prepare, and certainly to Him we try to lean upon as we deliver the message. Thank you again for tuning in. We pray that God would richly bless you and yours till we're able to come back this way again. That would be our prayer. Thank you again. This is Mike Groner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.